This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Wow, what a finish to this one as the Jaguars win it 22-17. There are probably a lot of remote controls to TVs around Jacksonville that got flung around the room a couple of times, probably some radios that got bashed in. But in the end, the Jaguars with the victory, thanks to a Blaine Gabbert to Cecil Shorts 80-yard touchdown with 45 seconds to play. That gave the Jaguars the victory 22-17. First victory for Shad Khan as the owner of the Jaguars. First victory for Mike Mularkey as the head coach of the Jaguars. First comeback victory for Blaine Gabbert as a quarterback. And first victory of the season for the Jaguars, who are now 1-2 after the 22-17 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Time now for our Comcast Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. And our Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Marco Coleman. Marco, is this a validation?
Nah, they just beat the Indianapolis Colts with a rookie quarterback. Not a validation.
All right, number two. What was different about the defense in the second half? They allowed only 3 points in the second half after having some struggles in the first.
Oh, plays made, batted balls, interceptions, really good defensive stops.
And finally, shouldn't the Jaguars have cut Cecil Shorts? The fans said he was stinky last year. They should have just gotten rid of him, right?
Oh, man, where would they be without Cecil?
He's made the two biggest plays of the year
so far. I'm telling you, Blaine and Cecil, hey, with 30 seconds left on the clock, just hold on to your seat.
Now, those are our Comcast Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. We get those straight out of the top here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after a Jaguars 22-17 victory. Okay. Validation, you know, one of the things we talked about this week was that the Jaguars need to win to validate the work that they were putting in. So I don't necessarily think this validates the Jaguars as a Super Bowl contender or anything. I think it does validate the work that they were able to make some plays in crunch time. Enough plays. You only need to make one more play than the other guy when it comes down to it, and that's what the Jaguars were able to do, unlike what happened in the opener against Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's true. You're exactly right about that. You just need to make the plays when they count, and they did that. The big run by MJD to get them going, and then that play at the end, you know, with Gabbert connecting with Cecil. Those are huge plays. But in the middle of that thing, I'm not sure how pretty that was, man.
No, there was a lot that was not pretty. There's a lot that needs to be worked on, absolutely. But the Jaguars get the victory. A couple of interesting stats in that ball game. Number one, the Jaguars had more yards in the first half than they did all of last week.
Big.
Blaine Gabbert had more yards passing on that last play than he did to the game leading up to there.
Wow.
So you talk about some remarkable kind of coincidences with the numbers, and they certainly were. But big day, best that Maurice Jones-Drew has looked, 177 yards, including that 59-yard touchdown run. Gabbert's numbers, you know, certainly aren't going to blow your mind. 10 of 21, that's 48%, 155 yards, and the touchdown. But again, that 80-yard touchdown really helped those numbers at the end, a quarterback rating of 88.4. He's finding a lot of different guys to catch the football, that's for sure. Kevin Elliott had nobody had more than two catches today, by the way, for the Jaguars.
Wow. I mean, they weren't catching balls. I don't know if this guy's not getting open. I mean, where is Mercedes? I'm going to have to put out a missing persons report on Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, he got just the one catch. I think from what I saw, they were using him an awful lot to chip and help in terms of pass protection. We saw early on that Robert Mathis was giving Guy Whimper more than he could handle, so you had to give him some help over there. Although later in the game, it looked like Whimper was doing a better job one-on-one before Mathis left the ball game. But again, not a lot of offense. When you score 22 points, it's not a offensive explosion by any means. After not converting a third down last week, they convert four this week. I think the defense, though, is going to be most disappointed with the fact that they allowed the Colts to convert 10 of 19. Seemed like every time it was a third down, either Andrew Luck would run for it or somebody would suddenly inexplicably be wide open in the backfield for a long game.
And they gave up 124 yards rushing against a team that's really not a dominant rushing team. You know, it's a lot of things they still need to go work on after this game. It was a huge win the way they went out, like, playing until the last minutes. I mean, that's what's so impressive is that they not let what's going on deter them taking advantage of their last opportunity. Seen that twice this season. It was a big job for them.
All right, there have been some very close games, some thrillers here in Week 3 of the National Football League. Let's get you updated on some of those games. Right now, in overtime, Kansas City and New Orleans, the Chiefs able to run off 11 straight points in the fourth quarter, three field goals, and then Drew Brees sacked in the end zone for a safety. That tied the game up. They're now in OT. Kansas City had the first possession. They were unable to do anything with it. Now they're punting it away to New Orleans, and the Saints will get the football here shortly and try to turn things around. 24-24 in overtime in the Superdome, and the Chiefs special teams able to pin the Saints inside the 5-yard line. It'll be a long field now in that one. In a game that looked like it might be a real upset early on, at one point it was a 20-9 Titans lead over Detroit, and then back came the Lions. Matthew Stafford to Nate Burleson for a touchdown. Then on the ensuing kickoff, the Titans brought it back for a touchdown, 105 yards. By the way, both a punt return for a touchdown and a kickoff return for a touchdown for the Titans in this game today. Jake Locker then found Nate Washington, a fumble return for a touchdown. Titans scored on defense, offense, punt return, and kick return touchdowns today. All
everybody
over the place.
Contributed.
And with Matthew Stafford out of the ball game with an injury, Sean Hill came in, hit Calvin Johnson on a 3-yard touchdown pass with 18 seconds left. They recover the onside kick. Then Hill hits Titus Young on a 46-yard touchdown pass. Jaguars have some competition for the craziest finish to a ball game here in the National Football League. 41-41, and they're in overtime right now in Nashville between the Jaguars and the Titans. It was a good one between the Bengals and the Redskins today. Robert Griffin III with a 2-yard touchdown run late to make it close, but it was too much Andy Dalton, who threw three touchdown passes in the ballgame. And Cincinnati beat Washington 38-31, the final in the nation's capital. Also, about ready to go to overtime. 6 seconds left. May go to overtime with the Jets and Miami. Those two teams tied at 20 with 6 seconds left, so we'll keep you updated on that one as well. All right, let's get the latest from the locker room. Jeff Loggeman has our coaches report. It's brought to you by Bubba Burgers. Jeff standing by with head coach Mike Mularkey.
All right, thank you, Cole. Mike, congratulations. First win as head coach of the Jaguars, and obviously first win for the Jaguars' new owner, Shad Khan.
Yeah, very, very happy about it, obviously. I'm very proud of our football team, our staff is, and I was really happy that I could present the ball to Shad, the game ball, when this thing was over with, because, the tough, hard-fought game, and get a win on the road. These guys have had some tough couple weeks to come in here and do what they did. Very proud of this team.
Holy cow, the last 4 minutes. The emotional roller coaster. You got the lead, and all of a sudden then you don't have the lead, and then you got the lead, and then you have an opportunity to close it out with a 4-minute drill. Doesn't happen, and all of a sudden you get the ball back, and what a throw by Blaine to Cecil Shorts.
Great play. I mean, great play. We talked about making plays. You know, we didn't make some early on. May have been a different game if we'd made some plays earlier. But we made them when it counted, and that these guys have talked about staying together for 60 minutes, playing through the end of the game, and good things will happen if that happens. And it's, today's a good proof of that.
How important is it just to get the first one to validate all the hard work and everything that you do?
Oh, it's important. I mean, they earned it. They deserve it. We've had a couple of tough losses. Different ways we've lost has been tough on them. So to come in here on the road against a division opponent after those 2 weeks of the losses we had, I give them a lot of credit to do what they did. Even being down 14-3 at half, to come in at this halftime, it would have been very easy at that time to go, here we go again, and they did not do that. And that's a credit to these players in that locker room.
One of the guys that I thought really stood out that kind of gave you that spark in the second half, Maurice Jones-Drew, rips off that 59-yard run and really was the rock of your football team and throughout this ball game with his hard running.
Oh, he that was great to see. We talked about getting a three and out and doing something offensively, and bam, bam, you come out at halftime. And to see him split the tackles there and hit it was great to see. I've seen it from the opposite side of the field, so I'm sure glad he's on my team now.
All right, last question. Some injuries. You obviously started out with the holy cow. Greg Jones is out. LaRon Robinson is out of the ball game. Montel is out for the ball game. Crazy way to start.
Well, we've been dealing with this for too long. With Montel went in for Greg. played some great fullback for us, got us a chance to get a drive going. Missed Greg immensely. I was glad to have him back. But, you know, to lose Montel and Laurent early in the game, again, some guys stepped up and filled in for him. Kevin Elliott to make that big play on third down was huge. A rookie here that got some valuable experience that it'll pay off at some point.
All right, Mike, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, that's the Coach's Report with Head Coach Mike Mularkey, brought to you in every Winn-Dixie postgame show by the good folks at Bubba Burgers. Could you hear in his voice as he said, thanks a lot, Jeff, the sigh of relief. Getting a win was so important for this football team as they get set now to take on the Bengals and Bears in back-to-back weeks, two teams that both made the playoffs a year ago. We also have in there, you heard the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation. And we don't have any updates on Laron Robinson or Montel Owens. We're not even sure if they're concussions or not. So we'll update that through the course of the week. Lots of numbers to go through. And Cecil Shorts, is he with Jeff? Is with Jeff Loggeman right now. Shorts with a big play at the end, as you now know. An 80-yard touchdown to... He had was targeted twice and had one reception for 80 yards, and he's with Jeff Loggeman right now.
All right, thank you, Brian. Here with Cecil and Cecil Shorts. What a play at the end of that ball game. A little flashback to Minnesota there?
I guess you could say so. I mean, the offensive line did a great job protecting Blaine, and Blaine threw a hell of a ball right down the middle, kind of snuck up on me. But he threw a hell of a ball, and, you know, God is good, so.
In the second half, a lot of Maurice. The passing game was kind of struggling. All of a sudden, you get thrust into the end of that ball game. You don't have a choice. Limited time on the clock, obvious passing situation, an opportunity to win it. What did you see on that play, and what was the route?
It was cover two. And Blaine did a good job of reading because the mic came down. And cover two, you know, the mic was supposed to go back in the middle of the field. So it's basically like a little drift route or a post route, inside release. Get up to about past 10 yards, and you want to drift in between the safety, cross safety, start from the safety face. And Blaine found that window and put it right there. And then the rest is, you've seen it, so.
How important was it to get this win for this football team? Obviously, when you work hard, you got to have something that shows for that hard work. And to get the win, how important was that?
That's definitely big for us, you know what I mean? We thought we should have had a win earlier in the season. So to get this one, grasp this one, and know the feeling, it's good. We're going to keep trying to build on it and get number two next week.
All right, Cecil, congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Cecil Shorts was just handed a Bueller Swiss watch as our player of the game by Jeff in the locker room. Let's go through the stats real quick for you, brought to you by Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Jaguars come up with 333 yards of offense, a marked improvement from a week ago, 185 on the ground, 148 through the air. They give up, though, 437. 124 on the ground for the Colts, 313 from the arm of Andrew Luck. He certainly is a tremendous ball player. One of the big keys for the Colts, 10 of 19 on third down. They complete only 35%, convert 35% coming in, but today 53%. Jags, 4 of 13 for 31%. That's not a number that Mike Mularkey is going to be pleased with, but it sure beats 0 of 9. You look at the individual numbers. We'll start with the quarterback. Blaine finishes 10 of 21, 155 yards, and an 80-yard touchdown. His passer rating, 88.4. Four touchdown passes against no interceptions for Gabbert on the season, and he joins Jeff Loggeman in the Jags locker room right now. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Blaine, obviously you're put in a situation there at the end of that ball game where you've got to score. Limited amount of time left, no timeouts. Take us through that play to Cecil.
Yeah, there was a minute left. We went into our two-minute drill, and Cecil just made a great play. Their mic was plus to the boundary, so we had a throw-in lane to the field, and made a great catch and great run after the catch to score.
Kind of surprising that a couple weeks ago, Minnesota, same chance. Obviously, the outcome was different, but you went to Cecil Shorts, same situation.
Yeah, very similar situation. Like you said, we're in a little tougher one this week, having a minute left with no timeouts. But, yeah, Cecil did a wonderful job just breaking in the cover two zone, finding a throwing lane for me, and it just turned out well for us this time.
How big was this win? You know, we talked prior to this game about, you know, when you play and you work hard, you got to have validation of what you're doing, that everything you're doing is for the right reason. And so how important was it to get this win against a division opponent, first one of the year?
Yeah, anytime you can beat a division opponent on the road, it validates all your hard work. We've had the first couple weeks of the season were tough, but we turned it around, and now he's got to get a W next week again.
All right, thank you, Blaine.
Thanks, Jeff.
Blaine Gabbert had 48 yards passing in the first half, 27 in the second half, until that 80-yard completion to Cecil Shorts. Shorts finishes with one catch for 80 yards and a touchdown. You'll take it. Kevin Elliott, 2 for 24. Maurice Jones-Drew, 2 for 16. Greg Jones, 2 for 12. You're getting the idea the passing game was not very good today, but it was when it needed to be. The ground game was good all day long. 28 for 177 yards goes Maurice Jones-Drew, a 59-yard touchdown in the third quarter. That was brilliant. Blaine Gabbert ran a couple of times for 11 yards. Overall, the Jaguars didn't look pretty most of the game, but when they needed to, they made the big plays. We'll take a break, come back more on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Indianapolis. The Jaguars with a dramatic last-minute win, 22-17. And we go back to the locker room where the Jaguars' defense came up with enough plays at the end to pull it out. And Jeff Loggeman has Dwight Lowry. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Dwight, have you ever been a part of a game like that? Holy cow, in the last 5 minutes of the ball game, the motions had to range from one side of the spectrum to the other.
I don't know if I can say I'm involved in a game like that, especially given the situation that our team is in. But, you know, you have to keep a level head during the game because, like we saw today, one play can change the whole tide of a game.
How important was it to get this win here today?
I think it was huge. I think, you know, just for validation for how hard that we've worked. You know, we feel like we're a good football team. You know, we played a full 60 minutes today. I'm sure there's some plays on the field that, you know, on all sides of the ball that we'd like to have back, but we found a way. And, you know, as you get into the season, until the meat of the season, you know, sometimes some games you have to just find a way to win at the end.
This is an opponent and a young quarterback that you're going to face for many years to come. Your impressions of Andrew Luck?
You know, I think he. I think there's some things that he's gonna learn from this year, just like any rookie does at any position, let alone quarterback. He's got all the physical tools. He's a very underrated scrambler. Keeps plays alive. Gives this guy a chance. He'll put the ball. He's not afraid to throw the ball into tight cover. So there's a lot of positives with him, and I'm sure he'll get better as he grows.
Well, early in the ball game, you had your hands on two balls. You said, obviously, we should improve on plays and make the plays that were there, and I know you'd like to have your hands back on them again.
Yeah, I will. I would. The first one, I don't know what happened on the first one. I think I tried to catch it, to body catch it. To try to shield the defender and just lost track of where the ball was. And the second one, I didn't know whether or not I was going to get there, but I had my hands on both of them. I should have caught both of them. I'm kind of upset about myself that whole time, but, you know, you still got to play the game, and there were some, you know, a lot of guys made a lot of key plays in order to make up for those plays, so I'm thankful for my teammates.
All right, thank you, Dwight. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, you can score a touchdown with GEICO in just 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit GEICO.com or call 800-947-AUTO today for your free rate quote. Jaguars win it 22-17. First win of the year, first road win of the year, first win of the Mike Mularkey era, first win of the Shad Khan era, and so very important for them to build a little bit of momentum. There's a chance some of these guys who have been injured, like Evan Britton and Cam Bradfield and Rashad Jennings and Austin Lane, may be back next week. Of course, now we are left to wonder about the status of Montel Owens and LaRon Robinson and whether or not they'll be ready to play next week as well. Well, sit more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea is now just $1 at McDonald's. Any day, any size, any time. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Well, we're going to wrap things up from here with our Bud play and then send it back to Cole and Marco, who no doubt have a lot to talk about with respect to this ball game and looking forward to the Bengals and Fred Taylor's enshrinement into the pride of the Jaguars next Sunday. What more can you say? They line up with how many seconds left? 56 seconds left. 80 yards away. The passing attack had three completions in the second half for a total of 27 yards. You're wondering how in the world they're going to get the ball down the field because the Colts are storming the gates against the run with Maurice Jones-Drew. So how in the world are they going to make it happen? Blaine Gabbert did it. Here's our Bud play of the game. There's the shotgun snap. with time. He'll turn and throw, and he's got a man. He's on the run. Look at him go. There goes Cecil Shorts. He's going. He's in the 20, the 15, 10, 5, and he's reaching. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jacksonville. 80 yards. 80 yards. And the win for the Jaguars. They had to hold on defense, but they did that. What a play when we thought it was all gone. I mean, who could have imagined a passing game would come alive for one play? That one play was more yards, as you heard Culpepper say earlier, than the entire passing offense had been in the first 59 minutes of the game. Amazing. But they come away with the win, and if you've been around this game as long as some of us have, you understand it doesn't matter how it looked in the end. A win is a win is a win. You take it, you move on, and you try to figure out how to be better next week, and that's exactly what they'll do against a really good Bengals team that's coming in off of a win today, 38-31. They took it to the Redskins. So, for our entire broadcast crew, first of all, the good folks at CompuFact, Larry DeFore's team, Amy and Jason and everyone that print our game charts every week. We love you. You guys do a great job. We can't tell you how important you are to our broadcast every week. John Dineen, every single road game, makes the trip from Atlantic Beach. Couldn't do it without him. On the money with stories and storylines and stats and everything we could possibly want. Scott Kushner, way up high. Couldn't see him. Couldn't hear him today. Quietly the best engineer in football. In football. And then there's Joe Fortunato. And I've run out of adjectives. He's just darn good, folks, and we really like him, and we think we're going to keep him. The Jaguars executive producer for Football on Radio is Joe Fortunato. For Jeff Loggeman, I'm Brian Sexton. Thanks for joining us. 22-17, Jags getting on a plane, coming home 1-2 with a big game next week against the Bengals. Take a break, and then Cole and Marco have you the rest of the way, folks, on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Now from Jaguar Central, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here on the heels of the Jaguars. Can we call it heart-stopping? Can we call it
riveting?
Remarkable, shocking, surprising,
all of them.
Thrilling,
everything.
22-17 victory. Linda Fortunato had already decided they didn't know what they were doing on offense. She said, "Throw it, throw it, throw it." I said, "No, you got to run it. You got to run it. You got to run it." And they ran it. Didn't go anywhere. And so what they do, they listen to Linda, they throw it, 80 yards later, touchdown. Offensive coordinator Linda Fortunato will be, we'll talk a little bit about some of the late game decisions in just a bit. Wanted to get you updated on the Kansas City-New Orleans game, which has gone to overtime. Chiefs have the football in position, Ryan Succop to attempt a 31-yard field goal, and he has drilled it, and the Chiefs have beaten New Orleans 27-24. This is another game, by the way, that... We've seen a couple of them today talk about a big comeback or a substantial comeback, because at one point in this ball game it was all Saints. It was 24-6. The Saints were leading in the third quarter with 5:36 remaining, and then Jamaal Charles broke off a 91-yard touchdown run, and the Chiefs rolled from there and didn't allow the Saints to score again the rest of the way. So from the 5:18 mark of the third quarter to the field goal in overtime, no Saints points. That's a pretty impressive performance. New Orleans had 288 yards of offense. Kansas City 5-10 today, and they win it in overtime. So, also the other overtime game, Tennessee has gotten it done. They came from ahead and lost the lead. It was 20-9 at one point, Tennessee. Lions came back, tied it up in a back-and-forth game. They go to overtime, and Rob Baronis hits from 26 yards out to win it with just a little under 5 minutes gone by in the overtime. So the other overtime game today, talk about some thrilling games here. The Jets and Miami, right now with 8 minutes to play in overtime, Miami has a chance to win it, and the field goal attempt is no good, missing wide to the left. So Jets and Miami, wow. Dan Carpenter missing, pulling it from, looked like about a 47-yard.
Shower in the gas station.
Yeah, they are not going to like that miss in overtime, so the Jets will have a chance at it. With 7:35 remaining, and it was officially a 48-yard field goal that Carpenter missed. So, some thrilling games in the NFL, none the least of which being this game with the Jaguars, 22-17. Let's talk a little bit about the performance of Blaine Gabbert today. Certainly, this is not a particular step forward for Gabbert in terms of how he played front to back in this ball game. The passing game was anemic. The only wide receiver with more than one catch in the ballgame was Kevin Elliott. That being said, you have to give some marks to Gabbert for making the play at the end of the game. As Cecil Shorts gets bigger marks, But Gabbert gets some credit for making the throw there, you know, with less than a minute to play.
We've seen it twice in this short season so far that he's come up with a play with not time left, remaining, staying cool, and finding a guy to give his team an opportunity to win the game and gets it done. I mean, that's probably the most impressive thing. There is a lot of things he definitely needs to work on. You figure prior to that pass, it was only 68 total yards of passing as a group, you know, going before that pass. So, but geez,
not gonna win a lot of beauty contests in this ball game.
When you get to playing against better teams, as we saw against the Houston Texans, those type of efforts during the course of the game will have you too far behind to where you won't have these type of opportunities.
All right, so. One of the big questions with the passing game, what's happening with Justin Blackmon? I can't imagine he's never getting open. So obviously some of this is that the passing game just isn't very sharp right now. But he's been, you know, a non-factor in the regular season.
I mean, not only Blackmon, you figure Thomas in this game. Mercedes Lewis, I mean, he's a big-time tight end. At least you would think he would be with his size and attributes and things of that nature, that he would be able to be, if nothing else, a comforter for the quarterback in times of distress. And he hasn't been any place in pretty much the whole season. And definitely as a rookie, you know, Blackmon, you kind of give him a little bit of a pass, somewhat. But he hasn't been targeted that much either. I mean, not a lot of balls going to him.
I'm gonna be interested when we can watch the coach's film later this week to see how many times Blackmon was open and missed. That's going to be very interesting to me. I probably will get a chance Wednesday or Thursday to take a look at that when the coach's film gets made available.
Robinson goes out and the passing game went with him.
Right. Well, and listen, it's not exactly like the the start of things. You know, the things when he was in there were clicking on all cylinders, or last week wasn't clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
So, give me a diagnosis here. What do the Jaguars need to cure their ills in the passing game? Just act like there's 56 seconds left every time, or what?
I think you should get the ball to the tight end more often. I think that opens up a lot of different things further down the field. It brings people down, and it creates more. And I don't understand exactly. I understand the issues with the offensive line and him having to stay in and from time to time to block. But you got Greg Jones also that can come in and do that. You know, the Jaguars are actually one team that can line up in that 21 personnel, regular personnel, basically with a fullback, a running back, good tight end and two wide receivers and still be able to pass the ball. There's only a few teams in the league that can actually line up like that and still be effective passing the ball. And that gives an opportunity to leave guys in the block other than the tight end and leave him and allow him to be a big part of the passing game.
I will also mention that there's one major positive from Blaine Gabbert this year.
No interceptions.
He has not thrown an interception through the first three games.
Yeah, and that's huge.
And, again, today was a lot of giving it to Maurice, and it should have been because he was, you know, running against a team he always does well against, and he continued to do well.
He kills the Colts.
while he was not playing very well in terms of throwing the football, Gabbert did not turn the ball over. So, no, that's big.
What was that movie, Celtic Pride, when the guys kidnapped, Damon Wayans?
Right,
That's what the Colts are going to do to Maurice for the next game.
Kidnap somebody, and that'll be
Maurice play. You know?
All right, Nick Folk on to attempt a game-winning field goal in overtime, and he yanked it wide left, but whistles blowing in this Jets-Miami game. I believe somebody called a timeout, perhaps, to ice him. I think that may have been, so we'll keep you updated on that one. They're showing a shot of Joe Philbin calling the timeout to ice him right at the end, and if only he hadn't, right? We'll see how it turns out to give Nick Folk another chance at the overtime field goal to win it for the Jets. We'll take timeout, come back, talk a little about the defensive effort today. The Winn-Dixie Postgame Show is brought to you by the Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars get their first victory of the season, 22-17. It's amazing how quickly things can turn around in terms of the perception of a season, what could happen. With about 56 seconds left, we were sitting here, and I think people were saying, oh, geez, here goes the Jaguars, 0-3 start. Things are just falling apart. We talked before the ball game about, is this a must win? Well, maybe it's a must win for the fans as much as it is for the team, because the fans want to get some kind of validation for what they've put into this in terms of excitement this week. Hey, again, it wasn't a thing of beauty until right at the end, but it was a thing of beauty at the end with the touchdown to Cecil Shorts, and so the Jaguars get the victory here. And I will point out an interesting fact. The Jaguars had twice before in their history started 0-3. 1995, Tom Coughlin's first year, the franchise's first year. Mm. 2003, Jack Del Rio's first year. 0-3 each of those. It's the first time that a new Jaguars coach has not started 0-3. What does that mean? I don't know. But it, it is kind of an interesting thing.
It's definitely better to be 1-2 than 0-3.
Well, and again, listen, if the Jaguars beat the Bengals next week with a lot of emotion in the park, in the stadium here on, you know, Fred Taylor's day to be enshrined into the pride of the Jaguars, and the first ever day for the Jaguars alumni reunion kind of thing. I mean, it's going to be a big weekend, and if the Jaguars can work off that and get the victory, suddenly 2-2, you're right in the thick of things. Yeah. Again, we all expect this team to be better as the season goes on, especially offensively, because it's a new system and because you've got some young players who are finding their way into their roles. This could potentially be an enormous victory when you look at it in the big picture.
Well, definitely. I mean, any win at home, because that's what they're looking for, the first big win at home. And with all the things that will be going along with it, it will definitely be a very exciting atmosphere if they can get that win next week.
Yeah, should be good. All right, let's talk about the defense. Only allowed 3 points after halftime. I didn't think that they were playing poorly in the first half as much as when they had opportunities, they didn't make the plays. So it wasn't as if they were getting steamrolled like they were a part of last week against Houston. It wasn't as if they were outmanned by what was going on out there. Luck was converting some third downs with his legs, and they were making a few throws. But when they had chances to make plays, it just wasn't happening.
Yeah, I think the amount of yards racked up to 437 yards, a little deceiving the way it went about. You know, like you said, Andrew Luck took off. He had 50 yards rushing to help that 124 yards that they actually had. So it wasn't really as bad. But I think it was at the latter part of the game when the Colts needed to make a play in the running game. They were able to do it, and the Jags just couldn't defensively stop them. Now, I think that was one of the things that stand out as a glaring deal, is when they needed to make a play, they actually weren't able to. So,
defensively, you're talking
about. Yeah, defensively, yeah. Specifically.
Yeah, until the very last play where they knocked it down. And that's what you look at this and you say, all right, the Colts are not a particularly good team. Right, they're in a total rebuilding mode year one with Andrew Luck. Luck, by the way, looks like a pretty good quarterback. They've got a long way to go, though. Jaguars get the win in a game that I think they should have won. We talked about before the game. I was picking a 23-20 Jaguars win. I was not too far off on that.
Right.
Same basic area of the game. So they win. Again, it's as always on postgame. Big picture and little picture. Big picture is they're 1-2 and have a chance to make a real impact next week. Little picture is there's a lot of things they need to work on coming out of this ballgame.
Yeah, they just got to keep everything in perspective and see exactly where they are. It's a lot of work. I mean, you figure in the red zone, 0-2 in the red zone, third down. You know, the offense, speaking offensively right now, they have to get a lot better on third down. Defensively, the pass rush, consistent rush, not necessarily getting a bunch of sacks, because a lot of times the sacks are deceiving. You can get 3 sacks during the course of the game. That's just 3 plays out of 50 plays. The rest of the time, the guy's just gashing you. You know, no pressure on the quarterback. And that's what we saw in this game. You know, and corralling the quarterback, keeping them in the pocket, not allowing them to run. That's, you know, as in with Luck. You
never
know,
had a sack with Luck. I mean, had pressure a couple, but not a lot of pressure.
Not a lot of pressure. I mean, consistent pressure. I mean, a couple of times they got kind of close, but for the most part, he was able to, and against the offensive line is, well, at least, you know, we looked at it and said it wasn't that good. But everybody lines up each and every week. They get paid. So you got to understand it. You know, it's going to be a competitive atmosphere for the defensive line, whoever they see each and every week. But there wasn't a consistent pressure, and that's got to pick up. And this has been the case throughout the whole season so far. It's probably the first 3 games.
Yeah, we need to find some pass rush, and particularly next week against the Cincinnati team that can really get things going offensively.
Big plays.
A.J. Green, Andy Dalton. Yeah. You've got the tight end. They found a couple other receiver parts to fit in there, including Armin Benz, who was with the Jaguars in camp a couple of camps ago. So they're going to need to get some pressure next week. All right, we've talked about the offense. We've talked about the defense. Let's take time out. When we come back, we'll talk about the special teams. Again, remember, next week, Jaguars and Bengals. You want to get tickets to see Fred Taylor and Shine into the Pride of the Jaguars and be a part of the Jaguars Alumni Weekend. Call the Jaguars Ticket Office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com. First 50,000 fans through the doors get a Fred Taylor Pride of the Jaguars poster. It's a good-looking poster, by the way. I've seen some proofs on this. Some inside intel for you. So jump on board if you want to be out here for the ball game on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here at Jaguars Central. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Special teams. Some good, some bad, some questionable. Let's start with the good. Brian Anger again, 53.5 yards average gross, 45.3 net. You'll take that just about every game to have 45.3 net.
He accounted for 321 yards by himself.
He's talking about changing the field, right?
I mean, and that's major. I mean, people think that, okay, the special teams, special teams is what, that's exactly what it is, special. It makes a huge difference. Like you said, with the Tennessee game, mm-hmm. two touchdowns,
yeah.
you know, from the special teams, changes games on the special teams, I'll tell you.
Josh Gobe made all three of his field goals and his extra point. But again, for the second time, again, it appeared he was trying to boot the ball through the end zone, and it wound up with like one of those kind of power squibs, you know, whatever you want. What, like a line drive power kick.
Yeah.
And it looked at just, and I'm just reading body language on the sideline afterwards. Scobie was slamming his helmet down. I think he's frustrated with himself. His kickoffs have not been the Scobie kickoffs of the past this year.
Yeah, not consistent anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially at the end of the games. That's the second one we've seen where it's been squibbed. I don't know if the first one against Minnesota was intentional.
No, that was a miss yet. I asked him about that.
Yeah, so, yep. I mean, hey, two times and crucial points in the game. So hopefully he'll get that corrected and calm down, you know, I guess more than anything. But you would think him being a field goal kicker, you know, his, just ice running through his veins.
You know? Well, here's the thing. I guess I'm happier to know that the Jaguars coaches aren't in love with a squib kick. You know, I detest the squib kick in almost every situation, but at least they're not telling him to go out and do it. He's just not hitting it right. We know Scobie can hit it right, and most of the time has. Maybe he's just in a little bit of a slump in terms of his kickoffs. Right.
How about those rookies in coverage? You know, Parmalee and also Elliott. Those guys are contributing. Yeah, those guys are contributing really well.
Yep.
And as far as on covering the kicks, they're doing a great job in that.
One thing we're not getting much of is a lot of big plays in terms of the returns.
Yeah, Mike Thomas was terrible today. That was not good at all. He looked very indecisive. Wasn't a good game for him today, specifically in the return game.
Yeah, and the Jaguars need to find some way to make a difference. You know, the punt return especially. Kick return, if you don't get much there, well, you know, again.
Yeah, they set it up to where you can't.
They're minimizing that. Yeah. They're not minimizing the punt returns.
Right.
And I think that's one area the Jaguars really need to be looking for. You're not going to find an impact punt returner likely out on the street right now, but whether it's somebody on the roster right now or whether it's something they're going to have to address in the offseason. What Mike Thomas has done on punt returns, they tried Maurice on punt return. Yeah, that's not making an impact in the game.
But he has the capability. We've seen him do it. I don't understand exactly today what the issue may have been, but he has the capability of making a big play in that punt return. We just see him just catch the ball and go, be more decisive once he gets the ball in the punts.
Want to hear some highlights?
What you got?
Let's take some timeouts.
Yes, sir.
A timeout. We'll just call one timeout here, not multiple timeouts. We're not going to ice the highlight guy. But we will take timeout and come back with a Sexton summary. You can visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked pulled and sliced meats basket for $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Right after this timeout, you'll hear the game-winning score as part of the Sexton summary right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Bueller Swiss Watch, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Jaguars got out to a 3-0 lead on a nice long drive, 14 plays, 54 yards, 7:47 off the clock, but they couldn't convert a 3rd-and-4, giving up a sack to Robert Mathis from the 20-yard line. That moved him back. Josh Gobe booted it from 44 yards out to give the Jaguars a 3-0 lead. On the ensuing possession, Andrew Luck would work the ball downfield on a 3rd-and-6. A pass interference call on Rasheen Mathis gave the Colts a first down. Then a 3rd-and-4 connection to Reggie Wayne moved the chains. And from the 40-yard line, Luck would hook up with a speedy youngster.
Luck with a long count here, takes the snap, drops back, steps up, turns and throws, and he's got a man, and this one's caught. It's a touchdown. T.Y. Hilton, the rookie from Florida International, was running wide open.
He was. He made it a 7-3 Indy lead. Later in the first half, another long drive, 14 plays, 80 yards. Luck able to convert on 3 third downs on that drive, including one pass to Reggie Wayne. Moeldy Moore running for one, and then another to Reggie Wayne on a 15-yard hookup on 3rd-and-10. And from the 5-yard line, Luck again went to the air.
Luck with a long count, takes the snap, pressure coming, he'll turn and throw, it's a touchdown. Moeldy Moore, touchdown Indianapolis. Landed 13-3.
14-3 after the extra point, that was the halftime lead, but the offense for Indianapolis wouldn't do much after that. First to drive, they went to 3 plays and out, gave the ball to the Jaguars, and it didn't take long for Maurice Jones-Drew to put his stamp on the game.
Gabbert hands the ball off, and up the middle goes Maurice, and there he goes with a big hole. He's on the run. They will not catch him. Maurice is off to the races. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Jacksonville. 59 yards for Maurice Jones-Drew, his first rushing touchdown of the season. He made it look easy.
And his longest touchdown run since 2009 gave him a franchise record 63 rushing touchdowns. And to help put him over the 100-yard mark for the 8th time against the Colts and the 26th time in his career. Indy still led, though, 14-10. Later in the half, as time was winding down in the third quarter, the Jaguars on defense had a lot of chances to make plays, and this time they finally did.
Luck back to throw with all kinds of times. Fires. It's picked off this time. Going back the other way. Puzzleski's looking for blockers. He is now lateraling it, which is dangerous. Dwan Landry takes it 5 more yards to the 45-yard line in Colts territory. There they finally get the rookie.
And the Jaguars would turn that into a Josh Gobe 47-yard field goal to draw the lead to just one. Indy led 14-13 at that point. After forcing a punt, Jaguars got it back and opened the fourth quarter with a 26-yard Josh Gobe field goal to make it 16-14. And then that's about the time that the heart rate started going up around Jacksonville. Indy got the ball at their own 8. Would convert on a 3rd-and-5 at the 35. Then a first down run by Luck. Added to it a Russell Allen flag for hitting the quarterback out of bounds. Then on a 3rd-and-15 from the 17-yard line, they gained just 4, so Adam Vinatieri was set up for a 31-yard field goal. But delay of game moved him back 5 yards. Maybe that 5 yards made a difference, because Vinatieri's 36-yard field goal was just a shade wide left. Vinatieri with a rare miss. Jaguars still had a 2-point lead. Jaguars got the ball back, couldn't do anything with it. 3 plays and out. Indy got it back. They couldn't convert. They punted it away. Jaguars with 2:01 to play in the game had a chance to salt the game away. 3 straight runs to Maurice Jones-Drew, the third of which resulted in a fumble. Or rather, the second did a fumble. Moved the ball back, made it a 2nd-and-9. They couldn't get it going, so they punted away. Indy able to take the lead then. One of the big plays, a short pass to the running back out of the backfield, Brown, gaining 39 yards, setting up a Vinatieri 37-yard field goal with 56 seconds left. The Jaguars had the football after the kick, after the kickoff, had the ball at their own 20-yard line, and it would take exactly one play for the Jaguars to grab the lead back.
56 seconds to play. The Jaguars trail 17-16. Gabbert in the shotgun, 4 wide. He sets Jones-Drew to his left. There's the shotgun snap. With time, he'll turn and throw, and he's got a man. He's on the run! Look at him go! There goes Cecil Shorts! He's going! He's in the 20, the 15, 10, 5, and he's reaching! Touchdown! Touchdown, Jacksonville! 80 yards! 80 yards! Oh my, 80 yards!
It was, in fact, 80 yards. No, we mentioned that. 80 yards for the touchdown. Cecil Shorts, for the 2nd time, gets a late clutch touchdown this year. And the Jaguars, had the lead, 22-17. Went for a two-point conversion. Maurice Jones-Drew couldn't find the end zone. And so Indy would get the ball back from their own 37. A long play to T.Y. Hilton to the 26-yard line. They spiked it with 7 seconds left, incomplete. Then with 2 seconds left, one last gasp, needing a touchdown, Andrew Luck would look to the end zone.
Three receivers, Avery in motion. Luck standing in the pocket, turns and throws, and this one's going to be broken up in the end zone, and the Jaguars win. The Jaguars break it up. Chris Pruszynski jumped high, knocked it down, and the Jaguars get win number one in dramatic fashion.
And that was the Metro PCS Sexton summary. Yeah, it went a while. It was a long game, a long highlight set. Metro PCS, with no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We're back to name the protector of the game and the coverage of the game. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, following the Jaguars' 22-17 victory in Indianapolis. Want to play What If? What if the Jaguars lost that ball game today? What would things have been like? What if the Jaguars would have hung on in Minnesota? What would things have been like? And how would you feel right now if the Jaguars were 2-1, getting ready for a game against Cincinnati? Hey, who knows? It's a game of inches in the National Football League. Time now to name the protector of the game. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Marco, who do you have for the protector of the game?
Oh, big 7-7, Uche Nwaneri. He was doing an outstanding job pulling around, leading MJD to the promised land. He was doing a good job. He's been stout. He's been, other than Monroe, you have to look at Uche as being very, very solid, very consistent, and really being a big – matter of fact, I don't know where Brad Maester would be right now if it wasn't for Uche right now.
Uche, I think it's clear he's their second-best offensive lineman right now behind Monroe. Time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, depend on us for life. Who had the coverage of the game?
He had one go through his hands after he got the INT, Mr. Puzlesny. Yep. He finally pulled one in.
Got the hands of a middle linebacker, doesn't he?
Finally got one in. That was some really good coverage. And, you know, it was some other good coverages, though. You figured Rasheen had some nice balls deflected.
And boy, by the way, the one on when he had the interception and got the flag, nickel dimer on that flag.
Yeah, it was you know, like I said, replacement referees, the substitutes, but – hey, the original referees make mistakes too.
I'm not saying subs, you know, replacement refs or not. It was still a nickel dimer. I don't care if you were, you know, if it's Red Cashin back there. It's still that was a nickel dimer of a penalty. So you're right, though. The Jaguars did have some a lot of chances. Dwight Lowry had his hands on the ball a couple of times. Yeah. Rasheen had that one. Puzlesny missed. So there were three or four potential interceptions that didn't happen. Again, it didn't happen. But if they had happened, this game would have looked much different.
Two teams is trying to find their way. Yeah, it was obvious. You know what I mean? On both sides of the ball, it was almost identical the way the game was played for both of them. You know, just no one was more dominant than the other. The big mistakes was doing who was going to make the play who's going to be the last one to make a play. And hey, go Jags.
All right. Winn-Dixie postgame show continues when we come back. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Jaguars win it 22-17. They're 1-2 on the season. Looking to even their record a week from today, as the Bengals come to town, as Fred Taylor is inducted into the pride of the Jaguars. More to come on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this here on the Jaguars Radio Network. For the first time in the Shad Khan-owned Jaguars era, for the first time in the Mike Mularkey-coached Jaguars era, we have a victorious version in the regular season of Marco Coleman presenting The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
And we'll say that is exactly the good thing. You know, these guys played for 60 minutes. As ugly as it was during the course of the game, they made the final play to decide what's going to happen, and they came up with it. You know, that 56 seconds left, one catch for shorts all day. Couldn't have been a bigger catch. 80 yards for a touchdown. That is the good. Winning the game. First win. Congratulations, Mularkey and Mr. Khan. Bad, I'm going to say that front four. They got to get more pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they're going to see a quarterback next week. And Dalton, if you give him too much time with the athletes and the speed that they got outside, it's going to be a long day for the defensive backs if they can't get something done. And also, you got to contain the quarterback. You can't let quarterbacks just run anytime they want to. Get more hits on the quarterback front four. That's what we need from you. And ugly – I said it before. It's these injuries, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on with the Jags right now. You got seven guys that are sitting on IR. Well, not IR, but we're inactive. And all the starters. And where would the Jags be if you had those guys back in there? And then today, the passing game left for Robinson. Head concussion. You know what I mean? Or head injury. Montel, head injury. Cox didn't finish the game. These injuries are just, they're killing the team right now. And I think if we can get these guys back, you'll see a whole different football team. That's what's up.
Definitely.
The good, the bad, and ugly.
Injuries have been an ugly part of it already. Next week, the Jaguars take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals team with a lot of firepower on offense for sure. Today, Cincinnati won 38-31 in Washington against RG3 and company. So we'll be looking at that game in the week to come. Andy Dalton, by the way, threw three touchdown passes, quarterback rating of 132.9. Somebody's going to have to cover A.J. Green, 183 yards on nine catches today. So he's one guy to watch for sure. 4:05 for that kickoff next week here at Everbank Field. The Jaguars will be inducting Fred Taylor.
Freddie T.
Into the pride of the Jaguars. It's also Jaguars alumni reunion weekend, so there'll be a lot of former Jags around as well. Should be a good one. If you want tickets for that ball game, 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Jaguars get the victory. 2 years ago, it was Josh Scobie kicking a long-range 59-yard field goal to beat the Colts. That, at least for the time being, saved the Jaguars' season. They were contenders in December after starting 1-2. They got that win, part of a 5-out-of-7 stretch that they won, and it mattered in that season. This year, the Jaguars start 0-2. Another long-range play late in the ballgame. That Blaine Gabbert to Cecil Shorts touchdown wins the game. What will it do for their season? Stick around, more to come. Thanks for listening. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is next.